sure what's happening here. Let me hang up and redial back in. Some technical difficulties. I'll be right back.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you'll be able to listen to the show.
Up and then meet us today as we come together. Before welcoming everybody, I'm going to read our ritual introduction. Welcome to the Paradise Circle. We are a gathering of ordinary people doing shadow work to come to know ourselves and solve everyday problems. Our inquiry is based on the idea that the word is alive and that language is where our power lives. Known as the path of expire, this inquiry is radical as it transmits the courage to fully surrender and to hear the soul of perennial truths. Once, quote unquote, received, we are in our voice, empowering the now. Each time we honestly engage in this unlearning, the cosmos rejoices. Each time we participate, we renew the understanding that there is only one of us. We thereby increase our capacity to love what is and to sustain the sense of enough. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm Michael. My key word today is gratitude. Who else do we have with us today?
Michael, this is Emilio, and my key word would be chili. It's windy and chilly, so I'm feeling chilly.
Well, this is Maha. And my key word this morning is connected. I am feeling connected. So, and grateful for it.
Amen. And we have a 469 area code. Would you like to check in and say hello?
Oh, yeah, this is Paul checking in. It's the first time visiting in on the conversation. Thank you.
Awesome, Paul. It's great to be with you. Would you be willing to share a key word? How are you feeling right now?
Surrender.
Hey, I love it. That'd be great.
Which is starting to morph into trust.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for bringing surrender and trust today. It's awesome to be with you, Paul. All right. Well, that brings us into, and I think that Farina will be joining us shortly. I think she had some problems connecting. Emilio, anybody on your side in the studio that we need to greet?
No, we're good from here right now. I'll hit you. Thank you.
All right, absolutely. So for those of you that are new to the Path of Expire and to this radical conversation that we call the Paradise Circle, the ebook tells it all, truly. And let's begin with some agreements about what it is that we're doing here together, because what we're introducing is a new way to do shadow work. And why would I want to do shadow work? To allow the light to shine, to join Paul in surrender, because truly that's the outcome of any and all spiritual work, to be surrendered. So the invitation that we offer in our agreements is for us to recognize that we're here to empty our cup, be done with the ego, and when we do so, we are in a position to receive. And what is it that we're here to receive? Wisdom and the kind of power that does no harm. And in that context, these agreements that we have on page 4 are here to keep us safe. So the first agreement I'll take us through, permission, I trust us when the dark night of the soul moves me into fight, flight, freak, or freeze. I'm here on this call today and inviting each of us to be here today to risk entering the darkness. Why? So that we can bring light on how our misusing power prevents the force from being with me and being with us. Would you guys be willing to give us an affirmation for number one?
I agree.
Yep.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, that's beautiful. And hold on, let me welcome area code 206. Is that you, V? Welcome.
Oh, this is Mariah.
Hey, Mariah, welcome. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Mariah, would you be willing to share a key word with us today?
Connected.
Yay. Love
that
it.
Was exactly
Thanks.
My key word, Mariah. Welcome. Connected. Greens connected.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And Mariah, if you did not hear the instructions, you can go to empoweringnow.com on the Open Meetings tab and get access to the ebook that we're referring to.
Thank you.
Number two, I own my experience. I hear the use of you words as marks of my projections. Everyone agree to own their own experience today?
Yep.
Amen.
Yes.
Agree.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Number three is the fun one, growing pains. And what growing pains is about is looking at the places where we default to being comfortable. It's comfortable to suffer. Have you noticed? In order to bring forward our power, we're invited to actually bring on uneasiness. I invite change. So if you agree with growing pains and that agreement, please affirm.
Agreed.
Yay. Number four, presence. You know, when we go through growing pains, we're invited to do our utmost to stay in the body. And as I notice what's coming up within me, in my body, I can prevent myself from going into the void dance. So if you're willing to do your best to be present, please affirm.
Yes.
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 Thank you, thank you, thank you. Confidentiality by request. Guys, here's the deal. Our goal is to go completely beyond the idea of shame. In other words, when I am real, I have no shame because I did it and I admit to it. And it's a process. So when I can't live with a wide-open shame closet, I can invite confidentiality by request. If you're in agreement, please affirm.
Yes.
Please affirm.
Okay.
And finally, clearing space. You know, this one looks like when I speak and I notice a response, I can check that response by saying, hey, look, from the way I heard you respond to my communication, you seem to be angry. Is there something that I said? There's a number of ways that we can check assumptions. The circle agreements invite us to keep the space clean and clear and to really check our assumptions when we think something's off. If you agree, please affirm.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep.
Awesome. We now have a space container, and that extends to the end of the universe, and it's coming back to each of us as the felt sense of love out of the container that we've just generated. Ma, would you be willing to take us through the foundation on page 5?
I'd be honored. Thank you, thank you. So, page begins with lines of colors that we are soon to understand. For now, just accept it as the organizational principle of that page that we're about to see. And the numbers that are above a certain concept is going to be followed through in this list. So at the top it says, religion, mysticism, science, art, spirituality all mean to lead me to be here and now, which is another way to say surrendered. By distilling their essence, I build a foundation for my inner work. And this comes out of the fact that, like for me, there's so many beautiful teachings and mysticism and spiritual books, and what I'm looking for is a principle, like a thread, that would open the magical cavern of my soul. And so this is what Expire proposes, and it would be best received if someone would be willing to play with me as we go from step to step. So could I have a volunteer?
You can use me.
Maria, you are the best. Thank you. So, number one, honesty is the cornerstone of communication. And this is how it works. I can simply look at the results of my words to see if there is an alignment between what I say I want and what I actually have. So when there is an alignment, I know I'm telling the truth. Okay? Does that resonate with you?
Yes.
Okay. So another deeper question would be, would you be willing to tell us what is it that you say you want, which you can seem to manifest in the quote-unquote real world? What would that be?
Sustainable self-employment.
All right. Thank you. So therefore, Maria, a part of Maria is saying, I want sustainable employment. And another part is saying, no, I don't. Would you say that's accurate?
It would appear so.
All right. So let's continue and see if we can come, and I'm going to use a big word, okay? And please let me know if you're okay with that. As we continue, we're going to look at where the lie is in your communication, which is, for the moment, unconscious. Does that make sense? So there is no alignment. There is a place where we know you are not telling the truth. So maybe what mysticism in many religions sees as the order of creation can help us track where your emotion just left truth for that particular area. You know, sort of like you lost your keys somewhere. Where did you lose your keys? So number one, I create my reality with a belief. So the reality that is created is no sustainable employment. We know that, correct? All right, so what is the belief that would bring you to experience no sustainable employment? Like, you know, the belief could be, I don't really want it work, but I am not saying it's yours. I'm simply asking you, what are you aware of?
My inclination is to say that the underlying belief is that I'm not worthy of it.
Okay. I'm not worthy of it. So then that belief becomes an emotion. So when you attach to the belief, which we also know is a lie, would you agree to that?
Mm-hmm.
Then that belief becomes an emotion. So how do you feel after you either consciously or unconsciously attach to that belief?
Very dense, constricted.
Yeah. And when you feel very dense, now you see that they're like parallel words, belief, emotion. Now we're going to go into the last world, the physical world, where you go into action. When you feel dense, what action do you engage into?
Immobility.
Immobility. So you stop acting altogether. Like, mm-hmm. Whereas you could possibly look for employment, you're frozen. Did I hear you correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Maria. So now here we are. We know that you have to believe.
And
I'm not worth. Yes.
I want to check one assumption. I wasn't certain if I heard her name as Maria or Mariah. Maybe we could get a quick connection on that.
It's Mariah.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Mariah. I know how to spell it. I don't know how to say it. So Mariya. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Mariah. So from the place where we know you are to the belief I'm not worthy, then the next step is like inquiry. There must be an agenda hiding the understanding that you seek to receive, which is, why in the world am I believing that I'm unworthy, that I'm not worthy? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So when we do have the courage to inquire, and I propose that today would really deepen the sense of I am not worthy, when I do, then what happens is I naturally rely on my intuition. Like, I don't need to force it, feeling worthy. Mm-hmm. I actually, when I see the block, it removes itself, and I'm left with worthiness. So to do this inquiry, I still need a form of inquiry that is radical enough to allow me to trust that there is an end to the BS. Like, there is an end to feeling not worthy. So just to check around, is there anybody else on this call that has or has had the belief, I am not worthy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yep.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Emilio. So you see, Mariah, you're doing the work for you, but for all of us too. Okay? So when we look for a form of inquiry that would actually bring me to the end, that would stop my mind from doubting, then where we go is to geometry. Where we invite you to go, where expire invites us to go is to geometry, which as a word means the measure of the earth. It is on earth that you don't have sustainable employment, not anywhere else. This is where you'd like to see a change. And geometry is just that. It fulfills this exact need by giving it the code to sense the mind-body connection and embody wisdom. Now, now, geometry can be like regular geometry, like what you study in school. It can be sacred geometry. And now it charts the unfolding of numbers in space and time with such elegance that it assists me to feel how it is my mind that creates space-time. So, okay, I'm going to space-time, so not worry. All right? And I need to feel that. And sacredness, sacred geometry is a key to that. So the six is the agreement, which we already saw. And the geometry is next page, on page six. And Mariah, would you be willing to read the top paragraph?
Since the way I use words is how I create my world, it is the world that is and was created in 6 days. This evolution allows me to include multidimensional perspectives and thus to resolve conflict. It is shown here as the seed of life and also known as the Genesis pattern.
Thank you. Anything that touches you out of what you just discovered?
Not specifically.
Okay. All right. So this geometry that is to the right, that has six spheres, known as the seat of life, actually explained Genesis 1 in the best possible way for us, because it tells us that any word has six aspects, 6 days, or six stages. Right? And when I attach to the word, and or the world of ignorance, then I can look at six aspects very clearly delineated geometrically. Same with knowledge. There's six aspects to knowledge. And by understanding those six aspects, then I can actually allow myself to come to the core of this geometry, the seven in the middle, where creation, the creation of work, happens through me instead of my trying to force it. So does that begin to resonate how this inquiry can assist us?
Yes.
All right. So let's look at page six as a way to deepen the sense of worth or the lack of it. You know, the practicality of the created six, which is a biblical name for God, interestingly enough. So, and that's another discussion for now, I'm just asking you to trust me in that. But the 6 days of creation, the practicality could be received through a die, simply to roll a six-based object called a die. So would you give me permission to roll a die for you and for
absolutely.
All of them? Okay.
Yes.
All right. I got the number 3. Thanks. And if you look at screech being 1, split mind being 2, the number 3 would be lost to mind. Mariah, what does that evoke in you to see that? Go ahead.
It's a similar sensation to the unworthiness. It's pretty much all like the notion of unworthiness and the notion of lost soul to me seem very related and connected by that sense of separateness, that false sense of separateness.
Perfect. I totally hear you. So what I heard you say was that when you saw lost soul, the connection was you really saw that your belief is also translates as a feeling, and the feeling of lost soul is I'm unworthy. Did I hear you correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm going to do something very bold. And again, remember confidentiality by request. However, I really mean to assist you beyond that position. So I rely on you to say, you know, I want confidentiality. And since this a public recording that is going to be accessible to the world, I choose to be silent. So this is absolutely a possibility. But are you okay with my going for the quote-unquote kill, like my going as deep as I can with you in this experience of XPR?
Yes.
Okay. So another way that I hear unworthy connects to shame for me. Would you say that that's accurate, that the feeling of shame, which is so hard to let go of, actually is the same as I'm not worthy, I'm not enough?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyone else on the call that would connect lack of worth, unworthiness to shame? Does that make sense to everyone?
Yeah, it does.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Again, Maria, you're doing this work for you and for all of us right now. So I really appreciate your courage.
Mm-hmm.
It takes courage to inquire. Okay. So I'm going to dare you, Maria. And again, remember confidentiality by request. I'm going to dare you. Tell me the most shameful thing, and by extension to our community, that you have ever done. And I'm going to dare you to reveal it, because it is my profound knowing that there is nothing you have done. Okay, at the exception of maybe taking a life physically. Never done that. There's nothing that you have done that you can hold shame on that I have never done. So look into the data bank of your memory. Consult the Akashic records of Maria. And I dare you to reveal something right now you're holding on that you're shameful about.
Well, that's a hard one because there's a few instances that come to mind that that I know my ego feels shame about, but my spirit also knows that it's not true. And I understand shame. One perspective on shame is when we have a hard time separating or like distinguishing between our actions and our self. And so if we feel guilty about something we did, that's one thing. But when we feel shame, it's because if we did a bad thing, we assume we're a bad person. And there's that ego part of me that feels so guilty about some wrongs I've done that I internalize it and identify with it. But there's the higher part of me that knows that that's not true. But the most recent thing I did that I felt great shame about was I read my boyfriend's journal. And I did misinterpret like what it was. I didn't realize that it was like a diary because I know that he had shared it with other people. But I think that I misunderstood the context and I kind of wish that I had not taken it upon myself to make those assumptions, and I violated his trust. And I felt really bad about that. And I still feel kind of bad about that.
Oh. Maria,
love that too.
No, I love you so much. I am so in love with you right now.
Amen.
I'm so humbled by your courage and your beauty and your willingness to tell the truth. And may I hear, I heard somebody else speaking, might have been Paul, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
yeah,
Paul.
Yeah, too.
Yeah, I just want, I didn't want to just take the conversation elsewhere, but just wanted to say me too. Same thing.
Gorgeous. And Emilio, you have a voice too. Please let us hear it.
Yeah, I'm there resonating with Paul and Mariah, and that touches me very deeply, Mariah. Thank you.
Yeah. So, how do you feel right now, Mariah? How does it affect you to have a resonance to what you said?
It's a lot. I'm, you know, sitting in that shame again, and also feeling consoled by not being alone in it.
Beautiful. So let's deepen the connection to the shame. So what I heard you say is that you read diary of your boyfriend, and the result of that action was to judge that you were in a breach of trust against him, and wish that you hadn't done that. And there was attenuating circumstances. However, the bottom line is you did it. You did read the diary of your boyfriend and feel like you breached his trust. Would you say that the bottom line?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's look at that, because there's two beliefs I'm hearing we can inquire upon. One belief is, I shouldn't have done that, as simple as it is. I wish I hadn't read his diary. Is that correct? Is that, if that belief wasn't there, you wouldn't have shame, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I shouldn't have read his diary. The first question is that true? Is it true that you should not have read his diary?
Well, no.
Okay.
It's not true that I should have had it. It's not true that I should have, and it's not true that I shouldn't have.
No, that's not correct.
Oh.
It is absolutely true that you should have read his diary. Do you know why? Do you know why it is utterly true? Purely
because
for happiness included your breaching and breaking his trust and reading his diary. Do you know why I have the audacity to offer that to you?
I can guess.
First, Maria, and then we'll ask the other person. So, Maria, do you know why I know that it was completely that you should have done what you did? Do you know why?
I'm inclined to say because I did.
Exactly. That's reality. And if I fight with what's real, I lose. Reality is another name for God, for your intuition. So I shouldn't have broken his trust. Thomas, can you really know? Did he tell you? Do you know that he feels that you broke his trust?
Yes. I mean, not like irreparably broken, but that it was impacted, yes.
Okay. So now we go to the next question. Is it true that you shouldn't have breached or broken his trust? Is that true?
No.
Exactly, because it happened.
Okay.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So now we know that if you only accept, and that's the surrender part, That's where surrender comes into play. Can you surrender to the fact that it was absolutely the divine plan for you to read his diary and to reach his trust by doing so? Do you, where are you on your acceptance, on your surrendering to that idea? On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you? Which one?
Maybe 9.
I don't accept it at all. 10, I totally accept it. Where are you?
I would say I'm at an 8.5.
8.5. So there's something left. Okay? So let's look for it. Let's keep inquiring. So there's 15% of you that believes, I mean, 85% that totally sees you were supposed to do that, and 15% that says, yes, but I wish I hadn't. So if I hadn't breached his trust, I mean, the fact that I had breached his trust makes me fear that. What it is that you're afraid of as the result of your communication, which was to breach his trust. I'm afraid that now, what's the fear?
He's already guarded with his trust, and I had gained a bit of his trust, and then having lost some, my fear is that I won't regain it.
Beautiful. That's so honest. Thank you for that again. So touched by how real you are in this discussion. So what I'm hearing you say is, I had gained some of his trust, and now whatever I have gained, I've lost it, and I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able, he's not going to trust me ever again. Or something like that. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now, let's assume for a moment that it's true, where we both know that we cannot know that, correct?
Yes.
But for now, let's assume that you will never regain his trust. If you never regain his trust, then what happens? What are you afraid of?
Well, actually, that I'm not worthy of it.
Yeah, but that would be not regaining his trust. So if you're not worthy of regaining his trust, and there's still shame connected to this whole thing, then what's the next level of fear? What's going to happen?
Oh, well, I suppose our relationship would dissolve.
Thank you. So what I'm really afraid of is he will reject me, abandon me, and that's going to be the end of the romance. Okay.
Well, and it goes beyond that, because if I'm not worthy, it's not just, I mean, my fear is not just that I'm not worthy of his trust, but that I'm not worthy of anyone's trust, and that I would not only lose him, but that I would lose all hope for, a trusting, intimate relationship with anyone.
So what I'm hearing you say is it's beyond that one relationship. And it touches all relationships that by breaching his trust, you're questioning your entire worthiness and your entire ability to relate to the whole humankind. Is that correct?
Yeah, on some level.
Can you see, I mean, I'm hearing you giggle a little bit. Can you see how absurd that is?
Yeah. I do.
Okay.
I'm just saying it's there.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's go back to the fact that this was really divine order.
Okay.
And let's ask you, Maria, the question, what could be the value that comes to you as a result of aggression, which is now an error. So it's no longer a transgression. Do you understand that? Do you understand how your that which was a transgression has become an error in real time today. Can you track that?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's simple. An error is when I admit my transgression publicly. It's like you have a secret which caused shame. You open your closet, and now what was a transgression at 9 o'clock this morning or 11 o'clock this morning, in this moment, it just became an error. Can you see the difference?
Yes.
Okay. So what you're saying is, I made an error, and I might as well take me out of the face of the earth, because out of that error of reading somebody's diary who was dear to me, no one will ever trust me or relate to me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So have you ever heard there are no accidents?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There are no errors. Okay? So namaste, no mistakes. So yes, you made a mistake, admittedly. But now tell me, what does this mistake bring you? What value does it bring you? How have you become a bigger, better person out of recognizing that error?
Two things come to mind. It gives me a tangible lesson in assumptions. And the fact that he hasn't abandoned me helps me know that I can err and not lose all trust from all humanity.
Ha! Beautiful. So what I heard you say is it gives you a tangible proof of your ascending, of you becoming a better person, and that proof is even mirrored in the fact that he has not rejected you. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So you were at 85%, 8.5. Where are you now?
10.
Hallelujah. All right, Mariah, you are so the best. I'm so appreciative of your willingness and your tea and your the way. I mean, if I take this solid foundation again, it's like you lived it. You totally lived it. From honesty to putting order to having the courage to inquire to using the measure of the earth, the geometry, to go directly where it was at, okay? And to stay with the agreements consciously, to open your shame closet and living with a wide open shame closet and out of it, seeing your shame is here, completely gone. I'm 100% now in my sense of worth. That is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm just going to leave it to the family now. Please tell us how this chose you, how was the process for you, how you feel, what's going on.
Yeah, this is Michael. Thank you, Mariah. What a powerful and potent conversation. I really hear the tangible lesson in assumptions. And when I heard you speak that, what I felt on my arms was that the skin was tingling and all of my hair stood up. How pertinent it is to really have a tangible lesson in assumptions. And the connection of making an error and seeing that it does not mean that all of humanity is going to judge me. And I should also feel that and hear that transmission. What I'm looking at now on page 6, and speaking of anchoring it into the earth, I can see this color code and this geometry as having been exactly what we looked at today. When I'm in ignorance, my screech, my voice is a screech, and I can't look at the shame as a symbol. I can't look at the gift of shame, but instead my voice becomes a screech. And that ignorance is deepened when my mind says, I should not have done what I did. And that belief about shame and about making errors has my emotional body go into a lost soul. And from there, my body tenses up. And especially over time, it has a tendency to become a pain body. And out of that, my heart is broken. I no longer can access my leadership. And from there, my spirit is forsaken. And what I heard in our movement today was exactly how the geometry of ignorance, especially when lived personally, can be quite painful. And the beautiful part that completed the geometry for me today is, as Maha said, the courage, Mariah, for you to, let's look at the knowledge here. Should that have happened? Well, it did. So let me get real about that. And out of that, my voice now begins to have a resonance, and it's coming out of the darkness that we just explored. That's what the voice is. And from there, I can hear the one spirit say, yep, I should have read the diary because I did. That's the one spirit, the one voice speaking to all of us. Now I can hear my heart. My heart now can open up to a language to love myself. From there, my body can follow. My soul is pure, and my mind is no longer split. So what I hear is today, Mariah received the word, and the world now has an opportunity to experience that Mariah differently. How did that touch you, Mariah?
That very last thing you said, that the world now has the opportunity to experience me differently, was inspiring and encouraging and empowering.
Amen to that. Paul, yeah. How did all of this land with you today?
I would say I went through the same process Mariah did with her. Just my own parallel process. And then also I would say that there's a certain intellectualness to it, but yet there's something that's not intellectual that persists in that same self-talk. Does that make sense? It's like, I understand that it happened, so there's a truth to it because it happened. So why do I beat myself up about it? So what's about the truth? Which is not intellectually, you don't deal with that intellectually.
Right.
Yeah. As you were speaking, Paul, the words that came to me, and I understand, I believe what you're offering, and I'm going to say that what you're feeling may just be a pristine logic, which is slightly different than staying in the mind. In other words, there is some intellectual understanding that we're discussing, and we're inviting the resonance of a pristine logic. I don't know how that touches you.
You mean like a higher logic?
Yeah, and I'm feeling something else here, Paul. You're very right. And, you know, the moment when you spoke, the moment of this inquiry that came to mind is just after I told Mariah, I said, I dare you to go into your shame closet and pick out a costume that I never wore. I dare you. And I don't know if you noticed what Mariah did. What she did is she started giving me an intellectual understanding that had no connection to the question, to the direct question I was asking. And that's what, I'm having a big throat clearing on this. That's what the mind does. It's the feeling question was so direct that what Maria's ego did was, well, let me lecture you on what I know about Cheng. It had no connection to what she knew emotionally and every connection to what she knew intellectually. All of it was an intellectual discourse. And I let her. And then she finally said, well, the thing that I did was. And then it became self-sense, very different. So
yeah, I was there. I'm sorry, go ahead, Maha.
You're absolutely correct. And my question to you is, where are you hiding right now? That you're projecting that on XBR, because that's absolutely not XBR, it's you.
Okay.
Okay? And that would be my question to you. So the XBR is about feeling the soul, the bottom line, and while being in your heart. Okay? That's the goal of this work. And out of that junction, I have a voice, and I know I am spirit. So you're telling me, intellectual part in you, that you wish you could resolve, and I love it. I'm very interested. Please bring it out. Where did you go in your mind?
Well, that's just what I deal with from day to day. The habitual survival war in the mind that I go through deals with that, and I understand what you're saying. How I would then project that, because that's what I'm experiencing internally.
Yes, thank you, thank you.
And I also wanted to take a sidestep ways, but I really wanted to really acknowledge Mariah for this, which was she did come back to the answer to your question after initially going off into an explanation in the story. And she came back, and I saw that as her own practice, her own discipline, her own power, that she brought herself back.
Right on. I so agree with you, Paul. I totally. Thank you so much.
The power there, respect there. Yeah.
Yeah, and I totally invite you to continue this discussion with us, because you know what? I feel for you, my brother Paul, because I have spent my life in my head torn for what the gifts that I received through XBR lately. I wouldn't even been able to speak to you what I spoke to you, because I wouldn't have had that understanding, you see. So I love the grace of what you said. And I actually feel that this is the best show we ever had, and thanks to all of you, because you made it that, specifically you, Mariah, and Emilio, I'd love to hear your voice.
Oh, I am blessed. What blesses me more is, and I agree with the resonance of an awesome broadcast today. Mariah, what touched me more about where you were and the power of the work of XBR is you started off out there someplace, and it was about sustainable employment or something. And when we went back into the first agreement to trust that I'm here to risk entering into the darkness so as to bring light on how I'm misusing my power, you did that. And to go in there to see how body follows mind, we could see what was there that was causing a projection that you're unworthy, that would cause a projection of the employment. And so a question came up for me. It was like, I've heard this saying before, like, what is it for me? And the real deal is, what is it for me to know me? And that comes through the inquiry. And so in touching that, I think it sheds light onto experiences that I have, because to dig deeper, the deeper I go, I see how those things are transgressions that are causing me to feel more of the shame, which is okay to feel the shame. But once I can verbalize it and see that it was just an error, and that error was part of who I am to bring me to where I am, and that's now, it's just awesome. So I'm just seeing the full circle of how the power expire and the sharing and the willingness to dig brings it to light. So thank you.
Amen, amen. Beautiful. Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're coming up onto the top of the hour here. And Maha, how are you feeling? How was experience today?
You know, my experience today is fulfilled. I'm really receiving XPR at a different level, and you're my proof. I just love you guys. I'm fulfilled.
Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So if you're listening to the archives, come back. We'll be on, 2 weeks from Thursday. We'll be on Elevate the Soul Radio, Blog Talk, and 2 weeks from today, again, on Empowering Now Radio. And if you're in Austin, join us at one of our live circle events. And, wow, Shalom Lecha, peace go with you. Have an awesome day and an awesome week, everybody.
Amen.
Thank
you. Good night, both. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.